Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at whether the trade war might soon be over. Trump raised the world's hopes for a peaceful end to his country's so-called trade war with China by announcing that he'll postpone the imposition of his promised tariffs as talks between the two continue. The U.S. was expected to impose $267 billion worth of new tariffs at the beginning of the month, on top of the already $250 billion that he decreed last summer, but this was put off late last year after a 90-day so-called truce was reached between the two countries. In the intervening 3 months, the U.S. and China have apparently made such progress behind the scenes that Trump felt it proper to push back the tariffs once more and even propose a possible meeting with President Xi to conclude an official trade deal. It remains unclear at this moment exactly what the two sides have agreed upon behind closed doors thus far, but it must have been mutually beneficial. Otherwise, Trump wouldn't have bought more time for the negotiations to continue, nor would China have silently gone along with this. This hints at the system of complex economic interdependency between the two, colloquially resulting in what some had previously called Chimerica, is so strong that neither party can afford to break it, despite their geopolitical disagreements with one another, of which there are many. Speaking of which, it might even be possible that any forthcoming trade deal between them might also be part of a larger détente in their new Cold War. At this point, a lot of the discussion revolves around proverbially reading the tea leaves, since factual details are scant, but rumors are aplenty, though it's still possible to produce a quality analysis about this topic. The goodwill that must be present in order to extend the trade negotiations might or might not extend to other realms of their bilateral relations, but seeing as how their economic ties are the basis upon which everything is built, this is nevertheless significant in and of itself. In addition, both sides have pressing domestic reasons behind why they'd want to reach a deal sooner than later. China's economic growth has slowed, while Trump needs a victory to tout before the 2020 elections. The overall mood is therefore one of cautious optimism, but a lot of work still remains to be done before a trade agreement can be signed between Presidents Trump and Xi. So folks, I think a lot of us were somewhat taken off guard by Trump's announcement, but taken off guard in a very positive way for once, because many people predicted that this would never happen. So because we're dealing with such a surprising event this week, that's why we're discussing it on Trendstorm. Now, the first expert we're going to speak to today is Mr. Adam Gary. He's the director of Eurasia Future. Hi, Adam, and welcome to Trendstorm.
Hi, hello.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Adam, some observers say that Trump's trade tensions with China contributed to the Democrats taking the House last November. So do you think that this might influence him to compromise ahead of the 2020 election so that he doesn't risk losing re-election for the same reason?
I'm not sure that at a conscious level, U.S. voters decided to vote the way they voted because of the trade war, and certainly the fact that the Republicans resecured the Senate at the same time as they lost in the House paints the whole picture as something of a mixed bag, as U.S. politics typically is. However, there's the old expression, it's the economy, stupid, which does ultimately tend to dominate U.S. elections more than any other matter. And the agricultural sector in the U.S. has been hit very hard by the trade war, and other sectors are already feeling the pinch. You see that GM cut a lot of jobs, and other major manufacturers are doing the same, where by contrast, even when there's hope of a resolution to the trade war, whether it's a successful bilateral meeting between Xi Jinping and Donald Trump, whether it's a Trump tweet saying things are going well in respect to the negotiations, the stock markets go up, which in America, unlike China, interestingly enough, is actually a very good general barometer for the health of the U.S. economy. So I absolutely think that at a time when Donald Trump is essentially facing a brick wall that is the U.S. House of Representatives, he's going to need his major policy victories to be in the area where he still more or less has free rein. That's in treaty negotiations and foreign policy. And in that mix, the trade deal with China is certainly going to be a big victory that in terms of his domestic audience, he needs.
Okay, that certainly makes a lot of sense, Adam. Well then, what I want to ask you about now is Huawei and the jailing of CFO Meng Wanzhou late last year in Canada. I mean, do you think that the tech arms race between the US and China will figure into whatever deal the two sides are trying to negotiate with one another, or might they just agree to disagree and therefore leave it out of the talks?
I think that the issue may well come up, but I think that even if some polite and vague words are inserted into the final agreement, what we're going to see over the next months and indeed the next years is that even if traditional tariffs, as Trump has put on Chinese goods, fall by the wayside in a new era under a new deal, we're still going to see the U.S. waging a new Cold War against China, mainly in the tech industry. And what's crucial about this is that even if the trade war comes to an end in respect of tariffs, it's only the beginning in terms of non-tariff barriers to trade, which are essentially tariffs through the back door, tariffs by another name. And a lot of the time, they're justified by far more devious arguments than the traditional ultra-protectionist arguments that Trump has used thus far in the trade war. We hear things like security, scaremongering, mass hysteria about IP theft, and all of these other, frankly, ludicrous allegations that are used by governments like the US and others to stifle free market competition. The view that China has is, frankly, the classical libertarian view that says, let the market decide. If American consumers want to buy an Apple product designed by the Americans, a Samsung product designed by the Koreans, or a Huawei product designed by the Chinese, that should be their decision, where the non-tariff barrier type of people will say, no, there's a security problem and there's this problem, and they'll invent anything. No one should be surprised at just how absurd these accusations and allegations are going to go. Think Russiagate 2.0, but this time it's going to hit people's pocketbooks.
Okay, Adam, well then, what internal obstacles does the U.S. face to reaching a comprehensive trade deal with China? And do you think that there's any resistance from the country's permanent military, intelligence, and diplomatic bureaucracies, or deep states, or possibly contrary? Were they against the trade war to begin with?
Well, the American private sector, at least in public, is totally against the trade war. Even companies like Apple, which would potentially benefit from Huawei products, which some view as superior these days, even if they were to benefit from Huawei's exclusion from the U.S. market, Apple also realizes that China is soon going to become the biggest dollar-for-dollar consumer market in the world. They certainly don't want to be shut out of that lucrative market. So it's typically been on the record that the private sector in the U.S. wants the trade war to end as soon as possible. The same is true of consumer advocacy groups. The military-industrial complex hasn't voiced its view on the trade war per se. Instead, you have someone in uniform dragged before some congressional committee who tends to bolster the non-tariff barrier arguments about national security and all of these canards. And so in that sense, you do have an element of the military-industrial complex that's been brought into the trade war through the back door. But the major private sector companies engaged in civilian manufacturing definitely want this trade war to end. And the longer it goes on, I think the more ordinary consumers will find that their lives are being made worse by the trade war too.
Adam, as always, this was a detailed discussion about both the larger dynamics and the finer nuances of whatever we're talking about on Trendstorm, which in this case was the latest developments in the U.S.-Chinese trade war. I also thought that your insight on non-tariff barriers to trade was excellent and really provided us with a forward-looking analysis on where things might go in the future. So thanks a lot for that. Now we're going to switch over here and Mr. Scott Gibbons has to say. Scott is the author of the book Trapped by History, The Remaking of America and Death of the Middle Class, The Millennial Metropolis, Power Cities in the Age of Trump, and the new book, Trumped by History, The Resurrection of the Great American Middle Class. Hi, Scott, and thanks for coming on the program today. Really eager to hear what you got to say.
Let's go.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Scott, how acceptable is it for both countries to remove their protectionist obstacles to one another's imports, considering that China's economic growth has been greatly aided by these decades-old measures, while Trump's political reputation is largely based on his tough stance against the People's Republic?
Well, Andrew, it is not that protectionism has greatly aided China's economic growth, but that it has been the foundation of that growth. Removing protectionist obstacles is not going to happen. for any area that has to do with China's made in China or expansionist military policies, or with the United States national security and reindustrialization policies that Trump has elucidated recently. And these policies cover most of the strategic interests of both countries. Any concession from China would be certain to be either superficial or irrelevant to the core objectives of its becoming the greatest power on earth. One possible concession from the United States would be a reduction in its current strong pushback of Chinese intrusion into the world economy. Donald Trump might be willing to agree to anything that benefits the American economy, but which would not compromise his longer-term objectives. The same is true for Xi and his position. In short, both leaders are biding their time in order to position themselves more favorably to dominate the other at a future date. Clearly, the Chinese economy and international relations have greatly weakened over the past 2 years, at the same time as the American economy has strengthened, and this has emboldened Donald Trump in the past few months. As a result, the Chinese need to implement their Plan B and buy much more time than Donald Trump, who only needs to appear to have come out on top and to have benefited the American economy in order to strengthen his position for the 2020 presidential election.
Okay, Scott, thanks for explaining where each great power stands on protectionism in the context of their trade war. Now, speculatively speaking, what kind of a deal could you possibly foresee the two sides reaching with one another?
Andrew, things are changing very rapidly, even today, even in the last week or so. And it's what we might have said a week ago, perhaps 2 weeks ago, maybe would be different today. Now, of course, Donald Trump is the master of the art of the deal. He really is. And that means getting a deal as well as getting the actual deal he wants. If he had decided that he needed a deal in order to get help with North Korea and to provide a specific short-term boost to the American economy, for example, agricultural areas where farmers are and his supporters often, for impact in the 2020 elections, then he would have been ready to do that, even if it were not otherwise meaningful, sustainable, and long-term. Donald Trump is a remarkable phenomenon. He's unpredictable, he's extremely active, and a strategic genius. And we can't overlook this. He is really something special, and he may be even more Chinese than the Chinese in the complexity of his plan. So from the American side, we might even hear of progress in discussions with North Korea, or even a true breakthrough so that Donald Trump could have claimed the Nobel Peace Prize. But today, the news is that the talks with North Korea have broken down. So I would venture to say that this means that a great incentive for coming to a trade agreement with China has been lost, and probably with their knowledge and involvement. We have to ask, what was their intention behind that? China, on the other hand, knows its position has weakened and is now forced to transition to Plan B in order to achieve what may be its fallback objectives. We cannot yet know what those objectives are, but they may be more defensive than the most recent ones for the Belt Road Initiative, BRI, or the OBOR, or South China Sea aggression. That means that China could have helped the United States in reducing industrial espionage, helping with North Korea, and buying some token agricultural products in exchange for support from the United States in its efforts to restore its weakening economy and in strengthening its efforts to satisfy and control its own population. Surprisingly, this could involve the joint development of advanced technologies to further link sectors of the two economies, but this would have to be done very visibly and would take some time to implement. That would relieve the pressure on Xi that has resulted from the Huawei conflict and would also allow a surreptitious and slowed continuation of Xi's plan to dominate new technology. And this would be done right in the open, right in the public forum. As I mentioned in Trendstorm in December, Andrew, in the end, a sincere and real agreement that will be implemented in the long term has no possibility under current conditions, especially as long as Xi remains in power. The real question is whether Xi can make some concessions without harmfully affecting his mega maniacal program, and how the spin doctors on both sides can present these positively. The deal or extended negotiations would allow a continuation of war preparations by both sides, which are both betting that they can win. Of course, things we can see have even changed today and will continue to change.
Okay, Scott, well, you touched upon a lot of different geopolitical topics in your last answer. So to what extent could a trade deal between the U.S. and China contribute to calming their number one fault line in the geopolitical sense, and that's the South China Sea? Or do you think it'll be treated separately and won't have that much of an influence in stabilizing the overall new Cold War competition between them?
Indeed, that's an interesting question, and many people probably are hoping that it would create a better environment that would reduce those tensions. But, Andrew, there's just no chance of any trade deal that will calm military tensions in the South China Sea and elsewhere. In fact, they're going to be increasing. There's almost nothing that can be done to stop that. As I have discussed in my book, Trumped by History, these tensions will grow and eventually result in military conflict, unless Xi and the current Chinese Communist Party rule are replaced. China needs to continue to increase its trade volumes, which have been declining in recent years, and to also secure its massive worldwide investments in order to maintain order and achieve its hubristic goals through greatly increased militarization and aggression. And Donald Trump knows that this is ultimately unacceptable to the United States and to much of the world. Precisely for this reason, neither country can agree to any trade deal that would change the trend of escalating military threats. Of course, a black swan event could happen that would complicate this scenario, and this may have already started in the form of the current border confrontation between India and Pakistan. Even Trump's summit with Kim, and it's a breakdown today, may be a black swan event. We cannot be sure which side is manipulating these events, but they have opened up side issues that may override the visible trade negotiations, since neither country is ready for the inevitable direct or indirect war with the other. The timing of these possible black swan events is indeed suspect and may lead to unexpected and unanticipated results that may postpone or curtail the trade negotiations, even if they were not going to lead to any substantial agreement. Either way, Donald Trump wins now, but China is not out of the game yet, not by a long shot.
Okay, Scott, this was a fascinating update on the state of the trade war and whether or not we should get our hopes up after Trump postponed the promised implementation of tariffs on China. So thanks a lot for that. You certainly give us a lot to think about, as always.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Adam and Scott shared with us today, we can see that both of our experts have somewhat different interpretations of this trade war, both in terms of who's coming out on top and what will happen next. But I think that putting together both of their views and coming up with their own composite one, I think that we can really come down to the conclusion that the U.S. and China are in some very, very serious talks. A lot is going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of goodwill that's been built thus far, but black swan events such as what seems to be the failed summit between Trump and Kim in Hanoi might end up disrupting that if some elements of the American deep state, or maybe even Trump himself, decides to pin the blame for that on China and escalate economically. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@spoonikanews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.